Welcome back to the Passive House podcast. I'm Matthew Cutler-Welsh, coming to you from Auckland in New Zealand.
And I'm Zach Simke, coming to you from Seattle, Washington.
And we've got another special component episode, Zach.
Yes, we do. We are joined again by Rob Comboy, who's the founder and CEO of Glavel, which manufactures foam glass gravel in Vermont.
We've had Glavel on the show before because they have been a long time supporter of Passive House Accelerator, which is awesome. I'm really intrigued by what they do in the whole scene because we don't have anything like this in this part of the world. We're dealing with predominantly concrete slab constructions for floors, mostly on some sort of compacted material, but that usually gets disregarded in the thermal performance. It's usually geotech engineers will take a lot of interest in what the concrete is going on top of from a structural right. perspective, but from a thermal performance point of view, we basically look at the concrete and up from that point, assuming that's where we draw our boundary of the thermal envelope. There are right. cases where you might do an insulated floor above the slab, in which then the slab is purely a structural element. But in most cases, where I spend a lot of my time trying to convince people the value of putting some insulation on the edge of concrete slabs, because that's where a lot right. of the heat loss occurs, mm-hmm. but also thermal bridging. So that's kind of where we're at. So we don't really have anything like Glavel yet. Be nice. Perhaps, Rob, it's not an easily transportable material, but technology is, and the ideas are definitely transferable.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I really want to kind of bring to the fore as we, you know, for listeners who are diving into this, is that just a reminder of how critically important manufacturers are in this whole project of the clean energy transition broadly, right? So, and that's true for electrification of transport. It's true for clean energy generation. So the manufacturers of solar panels and wind turbines and battery storage, all that. And it's absolutely true of building components and the materials that we use to create passive house buildings. This is a project of kind of industrial ramp up in many ways, and manufacturers are critically important. So I'm a friend of Rob's and have been for some years now, and I'm a big fan of what Glavel is doing, and the combination of, you know, structural fill and thermal performance that it brings to buildings. So it's exciting to see them develop, and we dive into that. We dive into some of the progressive hiring that they're doing as well, and just a cool kind of view into the vision that the Glavel team has for their work. So
let's get into it.
Enjoys. Yeah. Well, welcome, Rob Comboy, founder and CEO of Glavel. It's great to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you, Zach. It's great to be here. Always nice to chat with the Passive House Accelerator, and good to see you.
Yeah, right back at you. So as many folks know, Glavel is a founding sponsor of the Accelerator, and you're one of the very first supporters of ours. So a big thank you for that ongoing support and letting us do the work that we do. And we've had you on the podcast, and your team has presented component spotlights for us. So many listeners are probably familiar with you and your work, but for those who aren't, can you start by explaining what Glavel is?
Yeah, Glavel is this. It is a lightweight aggregate with the R value of 1.7 per inch installed. It starts its life as recycled glass that's been cleaned to less than 1%, not glass. That glass is then ground down into a powder, much the consistency of like baking flour. And to that, we add a foaming agent. In our case, we're using glycerin and sodium silicate to create the little bubbles. That's what's known as the wet process for making foam glass. There's also a dry process, which uses calcium carbonate. Both processes can be changed and manipulated to create different compressive strengths and R values. So it does actually create a nice wide variety of products. We've decided to go to market with a similar product to what we had been importing for years from our partner over in Europe, Glypor. So yeah, and we're up and running and producing in Essex, Vermont.
Right. So you're transforming recycled bottles into this cool product that is has some both kind of important structural qualities as well as thermal resistance qualities. So could you
exactly
talk a little bit about the application of passive house?
Absolutely. So what's wonderful about foam glass is it replaces the drainage layer. So 6 inches or so underneath your slab and the 4 or 5 inches of foam board that you might be using to arrive at your insulation value below the slab. It's the 2-for-1 solution product, which is there's some labor savings to be had and ease of installation with one product instead of two. I was really drawn to the product when I realized how we're burying so much foam. And obviously there's the environmental side of that, where it's a petroleum-based product with all kinds of nasty chemicals associated with the fire retardancy in those foam boards. But on top of that, there's a performance issue. We know that that product is not going to perform over time. So we spend a lot of energy, no pun intended, in creating modeling for our envelopes, and knowing that over time, the insulation below the slab is not going to perform for many reasons, either exposure to water. We know that critters really love foam board. If it's rodents and or insects, that'll just degrade the capability of the foam board over time. And we know that insects and critters just don't want to live in glass and don't really find it appetizing. So sleeping well, knowing that the day one performance of that building will be maintained, if only because we know that the low slab insulation will be stable over decades.
Right. And that's been borne out also in industrial applications and like transportation projects, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's numerous studies over in Europe in terms of the wonderful properties of using foam glass in infrastructure projects for embankment stabilizations. There's been studies in Germany around abating frost heaves because of the thermal properties of foam glass under roadbeds. So yeah, it really is an amazing product.
Yeah. So savvy listeners will have heard you mention the energy piece, and probably as people are thinking about kind of the climate implications of all of the materials that we use that go into buildings, they're probably thinking a little bit about that energy piece, right? So,
yeah,
and I know that you're about to dive into this, so I'm excited for you to share this with folks. But maybe we start by doing a segue and just could you give an update about what's going on at Saxon Hill?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we began production earlier this year at the Saxon Hill facility in Vermont. We were pioneers in that we're the first plant to have an electrified kiln to produce foam glass out of the box. There had been producers of foam glass over in Europe that have retrofitted their natural gas fired kilns. But we're the first to have one out of the box, which is incredibly exciting when it comes to the embodied carbon story. So as you know, we were fortunate enough to announce that we were committing to the electric kiln. Was it, when was this? Like back in 2019?
I think it was 3 years ago at the Passive House Canada conference in Toronto. Yeah.
Before the we'll dark do
a
times.
Little link. We have a fun little like iPhone video announcement that we did there that I'll
show in the amazing. So it was one thing to sort of throw the cap over the wall, and then it was another to actually, you know, make it a reality. So it was a little bit of a journey, took a little bit longer than we had hoped, but it's just so wonderful to know that, you know, having the commitment around the environment and knowing that we couldn't start the company on the backs of burning more carbon and contributing to the carbon load. It was critically important for us to have that commitment early on. And as you know, this was very early days, sort of pre folks even having an awareness about embodied carbon. I think there was sort of whispers in the wind about folks like Chris Magwood doing studies and analysis of what the embodied carbon story looks like. So we were really fortunate to be ahead of that curve, to be able to provide our customers with a low embodied carbon building material. And it really comes with forethought and planning as well. We just happen to be in Vermont, where the electrons are virtually carbon free. They're not 100% renewable. Our provider, Green Mountain Power, does source nuclear and hydro to provide us the electrons we need to make the product. But we are entering into a contract to offset the difference between their mix of renewables and everything non-renewable with our own renewables as well. So fingers crossed, that should be all buttoned up next year. And hopefully by this time next year, we'll be able to announce that we are in fact 100% renewable, not just carbon free.
Excellent. And so you have some renewables on site as well?
We don't have renewables on site. Our neighbors are actually Sunrun, facility can accommodate solar panels. So those will be coming. But right now there isn't solar on site, but we're actually going to be partnering with renewable provider Encore here in Vermont. They do solar, and they have a 30-acre, 5-megawatt project that we'll be benefiting from. That isn't happen to be on our site. Yeah. It's a very innovative structure between the solar provider, the utility, and Glavel. So we're again kind of at the forefront of creating those sort of structures to deliver us the renewable energy that we need.
Yeah. And how does that contract work? Is that like is it a long-term agreement?
It is. Yeah. 20-year. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
So we're talking a real commitment.
yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What else about the facility? I mean, are you at capacity now in the facility?
We
saw a tour. We saw a tour right before you were starting production, I think. So
yeah, we're absolutely cranking, and you know, again, with experience, we're really honing our ability to not only provide the wonderful 3 cubic meter bag product, but also, you know, fine tuning our ability to bring bulk deliveries to customers. We've got wonderful transportation partners here in Vermont that are helping us to streamline the process for bringing bulk to customers as we, you know, ship to larger projects, multifamily and infrastructure projects. That's going to be critically important to, you know, reduce that turnaround time and save money, quite frankly, and be able to deliver on the bulk side. So we always knew that there would be a little bit of, you know, couple of months or so of us kind of getting our legs in terms of what would that look like? What's the most efficient way of filling orders? And we're really, really hitting our stride now. So very excited to be able to offer not only the bag product, and we've got great partners on the transportation and logistics side for bag product, but then also really bolstering our capabilities around the bulk deliveries as well.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, could you dive into a little bit about why you got into this work. And because, I mean, it's really we need more and more gravels in the world, not just with foam glass gravel, but in all areas. And it's actually we're in a really exciting time with in the US with the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act and essentially this reorientation of industrial policy toward clean energy. So you are ahead of the curve in that respect as well. Maybe just looking back at the days when you were starting Glavel, wanting to start Glavel and where you're at today, and, you know, reflect, what would you tell your younger self?
Try to do everything quicker. plan that there might be a pandemic.
right.
Yeah, foretell the pandemic and try to get everything done beforehand. I think just being open to the fact that while the easier path could have been to just get a line up and running that was natural gas, to not shrink from that challenge. Because we have to be able to really deliver on a low embodied carbon future. And if we keep on kicking that can down the road and saying, okay, I'm going to do what's easy first with the minimum viable plant, we're going to be gas, and the next one will be electric. I think that would be one thing to tell others, that just don't be afraid. Just, you know, it's yet another problem to be solved. And as you said, with the passage of some of the policy initiatives, I think there'll be capital out there. So that kind of eliminates that perceived risk around the upfront capital that might be required to make that decision. And I think just being transparent and authentic, it's one thing to just say, okay, we're going to go get an electric kiln and fire up an electric kiln. But knowing where those electrons are coming from. I mean, it seems sort of obvious, just like electric cars, but if you live in a place where the electrons that are charging that car are coming from coal-fired power plants, it isn't doing anything for the environment. So it's more than just having a plan around the electrification, but you have to have a deep commitment around affecting change in terms of the electrons that are coming to the equipment as well.
You're tackling operational carbon, obviously, because you're helping high performance designers and builders achieve energy, you know, a great energy performance. Embodied carbon, as you just mentioned, resource efficiency, because you're also looking at a product that achieves two ends, structural and thermal. There's also the kind of the circular economy piece around transforming these recycled glass into the Glavel. There's another really critical piece that you're tackling at Glavel, and that's contributing to the just transition. So social justice and by extension, climate justice. So could you share a little bit about what's going on in that arena for you at Glavel?
Absolutely. Yeah. Very, very early on, we committed to partnering with a group called Working Fields here in Vermont. And Working Fields basically helps to break the cycle of incarceration. So individuals that are in recovery for any type of addiction, they're scaffolded and have counseling support with Working Fields to help them with their addiction, but also help find them good paying jobs. So we've been really fortunate to work with them, especially in such a tight labor market. Just having access to really high quality, passionate individuals that are really wanting to not only make a difference for their lives and transform their lives, but also are very aligned with what we're trying to do with our product. In the broader sense, and the good for the community. One thing we discovered very early on is, you know, we all have baggage. We all have our own personal stories and challenges from our past. So this, it really very quickly kind of melted away this misnomer that, oh, you're hiring formerly incarcerated. Well, at the end of the day, we all have baggage. Everybody has sort of stuff. So I think we sort of came to that realization. So, you know, much like the electrification, if there's anyone out there that is considering hiring formerly incarcerated individuals, I couldn't more highly recommend making that commitment. It's such an important part of our society and social justice to be able to not just rail against the fact that we have such high incarceration rates, but actually being part of the solution and helping to break that cycle of incarceration is critically important.
I mean, what a kind of holistic mission you all have.
it just pays so many dividends too, just in terms of the kind of community we look to create in the company. We couldn't be more happy with that commitment.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about some of the things that sort of future things that we're looking at and the horizon. When we think about embodied carbon, you know, at the plant, we're still, when we handle our materials, we're, like I said, we're trying out different loaders and telehandlers to kind of figure out what is the perfect equipment to move the product around on site and to fulfill orders. And we're really excited in 2023 to look to electrify some of those pieces of equipment. So never sitting on our laurels and always, you know, kind of how do we push the envelope? How do we, look at opportunities to electrify if it's now the material handling side of the equation, you know, and who knows, someday we may even have tractor trailers that are electric. I know that's probably a few years off, but yeah, you know,
it's coming.
We want to be first in line when that becomes a reality, because, you know, if we could deliver with an electric tractor trailer, our product, we'd be pretty excited.
Well, so maybe pivoting a little bit to resources for potential clients or, you know, folks who are thinking about specifying Glavel in their projects, what should they be looking for? What do you have?
Yeah, I would say in the middle of this year, I don't think we necessarily have it on our website, but it is a service we provide. We're really fortunate to have partners in engineering ventures here in Vermont. So if you've got a trickier detail, or if the soil, you know, gives you pause, or you're concerned about a certain application, or if you're looking to insulate around a footing or under a footing, we're really pleased to have the partners to help walk through those maybe stickier, more challenging projects that we've really bolstered our engineering chops and have a phenomenal partner to help our customers work their way through any details for sure.
Fantastic. And what about, samples and like people, folks who are watching the video version of this saw the product on screen, but like to feel it.
We absolutely do. We have a sample box program that kind of walks you through the life cycle of the product, where it sort of starts and a sample of the product. So yeah, absolutely. Well, sort of the classic, click the link
yeah,
below.
Right. Yeah.
To get a sample and we'll ship you out a box and start the conversation.
Yeah, I'll have to get the URL from you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I assume that you do demos and stuff.
We've done and we will be having some demo days at the plant coming up in the fall. So folks that are watching this that are in kind of the New England area, either New York, Boston, Maine, definitely keep an eye out for our demo days at the plant. So come see how the product's made, but also experience the product and compact the product for yourselves. And we will be rolling out a roadshow version of that as well.
Oh, cool.
So if you've got, you know, either a passive house group in a state and you'd like to have Glavel come visit you, we're happy to take it on the road and demonstrate the product with you you know, live on site kind of thing.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're tackling a lot at Saxon Hill, so I, you know, hesitate to ask, but I mean, what are your ambitions for elsewhere? I'm in Seattle. I mean, I'd love to see the roadshow for sure.
Yeah.
But what about other facilities? Do you have any plans?
We absolutely, we do have plans for rolling out other facilities. Again, you know, our lens is a little bit different just because of the criteria around the renewable energy. Yeah. So we're very deliberate in terms of how we look at site selection. So making sure that the cleanest electrons are available. But yeah, rest assured, you know, we will be in more locations than just Vermont. We know that transportation piece, even if we did have an electric tractor trailer, it still would be costly to get it all the way out to Seattle. So yeah, we're you know, working feverishly to be able to announce the you know, the plans and schemes for other plants for sure.
Yeah, nice. All right, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yeah,
excellent. Well, this is great. What else is there? Anything else you want to add here?
I think that's it. The only thing I, you know, I sort of, you and I were sort of joking offline. What have we learned over the last, you know, few years? And honestly, I'm really tired of being in the cave. I feel like for lots of different reasons, COVID and you know, bringing the plant up and running. So I would say I am really looking forward to reconnecting in real life with folks. You know, we won't be out at the conference in Chicago, but we'll be there by proxy with our friends over at Source 2050.
Great.
Will be listed great. On yeah, the 2050 platform. So that's a really exciting development for us. You know, we love Michael Lingui and the work that he's done to create that platform. So again, you know, stop by their booth and pick up a sample box of Glavel when you're there. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting back out on the road and you know, being with all the energy efficient building folks that I feel like I've lost contact with. We will be at Greenbuild in November. So if you're in San Francisco at Greenbuild, stop by our booth and say hi and pick up some samples and talk about Glavel.
Awesome. Well, Rob, great work. Thank you for everything you're doing. And it's been great to catch up with you.
Yeah. And thank you so much for the opportunity for allowing us to give folks the update. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Be well.
Great. Take care.
And that was Rob Conway from Glavel. Thank you for that, Zach. Great to have another update on Glavel and how they're going.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
We've talked about carbon a lot recently, and there's a lot going on in this space. It seems to be all about carbon, certainly a lot about carbon in my world at the moment, which is good and really great to have manufacturers who are getting some data together, making it easier for people to specify by taking embodied carbon into account.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I was reflecting on the first passive house that I experienced, that which was the Karuna house, is designed by Holst Architecture and built by Hammer and Hand in out in wine country in Oregon. And this was close to 10 years ago now. An amazing project in many ways. And it also was literally, I think, built on a mountain of foam.
Yeah.
And it's something, I mean, at the time it was almost something we were like celebrating, like, oh my God, look at all this foam. It was a different time.
Yeah.
And I just think about like how amazing it would have been to instead have built it on a big pile of recycled glass.
Yeah.
Not only that, but recycled glass that's, you know, been turned into this foam glass gravel stuff with clean energy, you know. So just like how important it is that we're seeing innovation occur in materials that go into these buildings, and how kind of righteous that work is. I mean, it's super important.
Yeah. And recyclable as well. End of life, that just seems to be a lot easier to take apart and then reuse those components again in some form. That it does concern me, some of these great advances in materials, the composites, panels and systems that have lots of different products and materials smushed together. It's a bit like trying to take an iPhone apart. To do that, right, is going to be a bit of a challenge for future generations to figure out how to separate all that. But if you have something that's just aggregate and glass, I'd like to think that that's a little bit more easily separatable at end of life.
Sure, seems like it. I mean, there's a simplicity there, in addition to just being combining two different building components into one component. The structural fill and the insulation.
The other thing that just stands out to me is that people would drive past a building site where something like Glavel's just been laid, and they wouldn't even think twice. They'd probably not look at it because it would not be that appealing.
It kind of looks like gravel anyway.
It's rubble. It's gravel, rubble. Yeah. But what Rob's done in the company, the culture, and just the enthusiasm he has for gravel, is quite inspiring, I think, because it shows just how excited you can get about every single element of the building, regardless of how uninteresting it may first seem and how invisible it will ultimately be in the end product. But he's making a significant difference to the people and the process involved all the way through. So I guess don't be disheartened if your product doesn't feature in the front of an architectural magazine amongst bathroom taps and kitchen bench tops.
Isn't that the story of
because you can still have a really cool impact?
it's all invisible. We're just like talking about invisible stuff all the time. True.
I don't think this product's going to end up being a key feature of the marketing material for a brand new house, but it's cool because you can create an amazing company, an amazing product, and have a real big difference by focusing on an area that can contribute to so many different things in a positive way.
And it just seems to me that there's going to be just a huge demand for this. I mean, as people become more and more attuned to operational performance of buildings and embodied carbon. So, I think that Rob has, I think as any entrepreneur, has made some serious sacrifices over the years to make this happen. And I just wish him, he seems like he and Glavel are well positioned to for lots of success. And I hope that that's what unfolds in the coming years as we make this big shift in building that we need to do.
Now, I think you mentioned something else as well about how Rob's going about building his team and his the culture of the organization.
It's just an example, I think, of a company really walking the walk. It's easy to talk the talk, but there's real action that Glavel is taking that is as progressive as the moves they're making on embodied carbon. It's all part of this, realizing this kind of vision of the just transition, I think. So
yeah,
I'm heartened by it.
It's very cool. So we've had Glavel on the show before. I think we've talked about it, but they do have some good technical resources on their website. Is that the best place for people to go to find out more about specifications and data sheets and applications?
Yes, and we have we'll have a couple of links in the show notes for the resources that Rob mentioned as well. But it's all at glavel.com.
Awesome. Anything else you wanted to mention about?
I think that wraps it up. It's fun. It feels a little bit full circle because we had that, as we alluded to at the beginning of the conversation, the that announcement that he made at PassFiles Canada in Toronto about this ambition to go all clean energy. And they're, you know, that's what they've done. So,
which is cool, pretty phenomenal. Yeah. You know, cause it's not a lightweight material. It's not easy stuff to move around. So, you know, if you can do that with a product like that, then that shows that it can be done probably for a lot of other materials as well.
That vision and intention.
Yeah. Awesome. Very good. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this special components episode of the PassFiles podcast. But we'll be back again with a regular show.
That's right. Thanks, Matthew.
All right. Thanks a lot, Zach.